Taking our ponderings this morning from the book of Jonah. So I'll give you time to find that. Of course, we're not going to read a lot from the book of Jonah because I think the story is well known to just about every single one of us if we've ever attended a Sunday school or even watched children's movies about the Bible, being one of the most well-known stories from the Old Testament specifically. But we're going to take the book of Jonah and try to apply it to our lives under the title of A Lesson About Obedience and Blessing. So we're just going to read the first three verses, and then we'll continue on from there. In Jonah chapter 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that dwells amongst us this morning. Lord, to bless your word, to touch our hearts. Lord, to bless us as you've called us to. Lord, we ask that your spirit would deal with each one of us individually, that your word would touch our hearts. Lord, we come to you that we might obey you and that we might be blessed by you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is certainly much that could be learned from the book of Jonah, and no doubt many of us, we've heard the story, we benefited from the stories of Jonah and the recorded events of Jonah's life. We've heard it since the time we were children and be reminded of it year in and year out. It's so well known that even Christ himself, he spoke about Jonah, and he even used the story of Jonah and the events, the true events of Jonah's life, to represent or to foreshadow his own death and resurrection. However, today I want to not so much focus on that foreshadowing, but to take the events of Jonah's life and the obedience and disobedience that we see so clearly here as a general lesson about what God desires through obedience and the blessings that can be received from it. Maybe before we get into that, we talk about what does it mean? We hear that phrase a lot. We hear that terminology used all the time in Christian living. You know, God bless you, or be blessed, or, you know, have many blessings, or count your blessings. And I think sometimes, because it's so common, we don't stop to think, what does it mean to be blessed of God? What does it mean to be a blessing? What does it mean that we have a blessed life? We think to those words of Christ in the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the poor, blessed are poor in spirit, and blessed are all those things. And we think, well, what does that mean to be blessed? Does it mean that we have a good home, a good job, security, health? Because most people, at least in the carnal sense and the generally Christian sense, understand that blessing means to have good fortune, when God's word doesn't mean that at all. What it means to be blessed of God is it means to be joyful. It means to be happy. The root words of it, when you go back to the Hebrew, it basically means to say, lucky am I. I am lucky. I can congratulate myself on something. That's what it means to be blessed. It means to look at your life and say, maybe I don't have this, or maybe I do, or maybe I'm in this situation and maybe I'm not. But I'm blessed because in all those situations and in the wants and have-nots, I feel joy. I feel at peace. I feel that sense of calm and spiritual stability that doesn't come from earthly things. And so I want us to not think about the blessing so much as the material, though God may use that really in a marginal sense in the Christian's life, but to really understand that what God calls us to, what he desires for every one of our lives is not to have those material things or to be comfortable, but to be blessed in the spiritual sense. To look at whatever we have in our life and say, Lord, I'm happy. I'm content. I'm thankful. Whether I have it or don't have it, whether I'm in the belly of a fish or on dry land, I feel joy that whatever comes through life, I know that I'm with you. And that's the heart and that's the desire that God has for us, and it's what He wants us to be seeking. And so we're going to be talking about the relationship between that life and obedience, about how what it means to obey God in order to live that type of life and get the true blessings of God. The first thing I want us to see from the life of Jonah is that obedience to the divine will challenges your mortal desire. Maybe that's a wordy way of saying that if you want to do what God wants you to do, it's going to contradict what we want to do. And that's a spiritual truth. Because as fallen individuals, what we naturally want, it doesn't mean that we naturally want to sin. I'm not talking about the desire to lust for sin, though that is obviously part of our challenges. But the natural man doesn't desire the things of God. The natural man wants to eat, sleep, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and that's what fills our life. And much of our life, we're demanded to think about those things because of the way that life is. And to obey God means that we're going to be stretched in our mortal flesh. You know, Jonah's well-known disobedience to God's request, when you look through it, and we're going to spend a little bit of time just kind of going back in history and trying to put ourselves in Jonah's shoes. Because I think when we do that, we'll realize that Jonah, who's, you know, world-renowned for being one of the disobedient prophets in the Old Testament, it's not so cut and dried. It's not so easy to point the finger at being Jonah and be like, you are just a rotten prophet. You know, how could you be that disobedient to God? In order to better understand Jonah, we want to go back to a little bit to his situation. We know that Jonah was a prophet before this. He was a well-known prophet in the days of Jeroboam II in Israel. He was from a little town called Geth Hefer. I'm actually going to ask you, go ahead and look, if your Bible has a map in the back of it, go ahead and look at that map, because I think it will give us a little bit better understanding, so that, not so we can understand history, but so that we can relate to what Jonah went through, that we might be able to take the lessons he learned and that God has tried to teach him and apply it to us. So if it shows the land of Zebulun, it's right near Nazareth. Geth Hefer probably won't show up on any of the maps, but it's right around Nazareth, or what was at the time of Jesus, Nazareth. So it's in northern Israel. It's part of the Galilee region of Israel. And you understand that at that time, there was a huge rivalry and political tension between the kingdom of Assyria, which is going to become the capital, Nineveh, and Israel. In 840 BC, that's about 80 years before the time of Jonah, Assyria became very powerful. They came in and they made Israel, it's called a vassal state. So a vassal state means basically like, you guys have some independence, but you have to pay us taxes. If we need something, you have to send it. If we need soldiers, you have to come to our aid. Like, you're under our thumb, but we'll let you have your own kings and run your own life. But when we need you, we're going to call upon you, and you have to come to our aid. And so nobody likes to live in that situation, especially a proud people like the Jews. And so this is something that Jonah and his grandfather and father lived under. And they knew at any given time, the Assyrians can come and say, look, you know, we're having a war with Syria in Damascus, and we need some soldiers, and we need to take all your money and all your oil and all your wheat and all the things that you've laid up for winter, and you have to give it to us. And so there wasn't much love lost between the Israelis, the Jews then, and the Assyrians. In addition to the taxes and the political influence, there were regular wars and raids. So whenever one king in Israel, you know, tried to push back against the Assyrians, they say, well, you need to learn subjugation. So they'd send an army in and they'd take over a couple villages and they'd kill some people and they'd say, you know, don't do that again. And so that just increased the tension and the hatred between these two peoples. And beyond all of that, God prophesied, and we're going to look at just two of these prophecies just to let us understand, that not only was there this tension, but God was going to use that exact people to destroy the northern kingdom of Israel. Which again, that's where Jonah is from. He's from northern Israel. Look over just a couple books back in the book of Hosea, chapter 9. Just a couple books back from Jonah. Hosea chapter 9 and verses 1 through 3. God says, "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people. For thou hast gone a whoring from thy God, thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall not fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land. But Ephraim shall return to Egypt, that is to bondage, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria." Go forward a couple books to the book of Amos in chapter 6. Amos is right before Jonah. Amos chapter 6 verse 14. A general description of the destruction of Samaria, that is northern Israel. "But behold, I will rise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entering of Hamath until the river of the wilderness." If you go back to that map in the back of your Bible, if you want to, and look at that, Jonah as a prophet, both Amos and Hosea were contemporaries of the prophet Jonah. It's very likely, I think we could say for certain, that these prophets, all who prophesied in the northern kingdom, the same place that Jonah was from and God was using him as a prophet in the days of the kings of Israel, understood that the kingdom of Assyria was not just their enemy. In about 30 years' time, God was going to bring that exact people to come in, steal your land, rape your women, burn your homes, kill your children, and take the rest of them away into a land never to come back. And then God looks at Jonah and says, "Jonah, I want you to go to that people." That's a pretty hard pill to swallow. That being like us looking at China and being like, God gives us a vision and says, in 30 years, China is going to take over all your lands. They're going to kill your sons. They're going to steal everything that you have, and you'll never come back. Now go and take the gospel to them. Now, we'd like to say, well, you know, we're good, faithful people, and we love missions. We do that. But I guarantee you'd look at that and you look at your homes and your grandchildren, and it would not be easy to go over to a foreign land, to submit yourself to them, and try and share with them even the good news of Jesus Christ. And so the first lesson we see from Jonah is that God, if we're going to obey him, he's going to stretch us. He's going to ask us to challenge our prejudices. We live in a country where more and more how we live and how God desires us to live is opposite to what our country and our countrymen live. And we can either say, well, they've got theirs and we've got ours. But God wants to stretch us. God is going to challenge us to say, look, you know, They are ungodly. They do hate the Lord. And we're called to go to them. God was going to challenge Jonah to interact with people he didn't want, he didn't like, he didn't agree with, and that were literally those same people he was going to go talk to. He was going to see people who are going to come a generation later and destroy his own home. And God said, if you want to obey me, you've got to swallow your pride. You've got to swallow everything about yourself, your prejudices, your dislikes, and you have to obey me. Not only that, Jonah had to physically sacrifice. We all know the story how that Jonah was swallowed up by a fish for 3 days, and there he made a prayer of repentance to at least obey the Lord in the physical. And then it says he spit him out on dry land. Well, again, if you looked at that map, he spit Nineveh, which is modern-day Medina Mosul. Sorry, most, however Americans say that, Mosul. I have to relearn the American accent. So, Mosul in Iraq, it's about 600 miles through the Syrian desert. So he spit him out on dry land, and then he walked 600 miles from the beach to Mosul, or to Nineveh. And he had a long time to sit and think. And he, you know, spent, I don't know how long it would take you to walk 600 miles through the Syrian desert, but it wasn't a day or two. He sacrificed not only, you know, his pride, he gave up a good portion of his life, his health, to be able to go to Nineveh and preach this message. And so God stretched Jonah, in order to obey, God stretched him with his prejudices, mentally, emotionally, socially, even physically. And I dare say that if we're going to obey God and seek that spiritual blessing, it's going to hurt some. If we want to obey God and have it easy, we're asking for something that never has and never will exist. Obedience to God means we have to deny our flesh. And that is exactly why Christ made it a condition that if you want to follow me, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. So that's the first condition for that blessing. The second thing that we notice from Jonah is that the blessing of obedience might not be primarily for us. If you looked at Jonah's life, you'd look at Jonah and you'd be like, he doesn't look very blessed. Sitting in the belly of a fish, or running away from God on a ship to Tarshish, or walking through the Syrian desert, or sitting under that proverbial gourd that he eventually finds, you know, with the east wind beating against him. He's like, Jonah does not look very blessed. And even if God had taken him out there and brought him back, you wouldn't have looked at Jonah's life and thought, you know, Jonah's life is better off now than it was before he left. Because the primary blessing that God wanted to give through Jonah was not for Jonah. It wasn't for him. Jonah was upset, even angry, in his mind, rightfully so, because he knew that God desired to bless people and have mercy on the Assyrians. Look over in chapter 4, in verses 1 through 3, his well-known response. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah wanted to see people punished. Jonah wanted to have the blessing for himself. And again, we can easily blame Jonah and say, how could you be so selfish? And know, as a prophet of God, know that God is a God of mercy, love, and kindness. Because our natural man thinks about me, me, me. But the Christian calling is not about me, me, me. Again, the call to discipleship in Christ when he says, take up thy cross. It means that I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. That I no longer exist. That I'm dead to the world and I'm dead to myself. Me doesn't get what I want anymore. And I live for God. I live for the people that God wants to bless. Look over with me also back in Genesis chapter 12. I know we're turning back and forth, but I want us to understand how crucial the calling to blessedness and the calling to obedience is, and how from the very beginning God intended that the blessings he blesses us with are meant to be given out. That we are mere conduits of that blessing. In Genesis 12 and verses 1 through 3, that great passage of the blessing of Abraham, or Abram, says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now we don't have time to go into all the details, and we know ultimately that's pointing to Christ himself. But the general rule here and the principle is, from the time that God called Abraham, he said, look, I have a special calling to you, to initiate through Abraham something unique that was ultimately going to lead to the salvation of the entire world. But the principle is that Abram, I didn't call you to be the blessing. I called you so that through you, I might bless all the peoples of the world. In fact, you looked at Abraham's life, you know, how he lived. He lived in tents. He lived as a stranger in the land that God had promised him. Like, Abraham didn't look very blessed in his life. Because God said, the blessing I want to give isn't primarily for you. Yes, you will be blessed. But the reason I'm calling you is to be a conduit of blessing to others. And isn't that what Christ himself did? That's exactly the call to discipleship in Jesus Christ, is to put others first. Look also with me in Philippians chapter 2. Nothing else, you'll stay awake by turning in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5 gives us that exact principle. He says, but let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ didn't come for himself. Christ came for us. And he says to any person who names the name of Christ, any person who says, he's my Lord, he said, then follow my example. My example is that I didn't bless you so you can be comfortable and live in your home, though we may. But ultimately, our call as Christians is to be a blessing for others. And so we have to obey, understanding that I've been called to give what God has given me. And the contradictory principle, or seemingly contradictory, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, human logic would say, if I give things away, I lose it. If I give the blessing away, if I give away my comfort, if I walk across the proverbial Syrian desert of my life, and I'm uncomfortable, and I give until it hurts, And I have to give up my prejudices, and I have to change the way I look at people. It's hard. It's not fun. It means that we have to look and we contradict, or we criticize ourselves more than we criticize others, which is not easy to do. And God says, and that is the blessing. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, Jonah did not fail in his obedience and actually doing the thing that God asked. He eventually delivered the message, but he failed where? In understanding that the blessing was for others. And thus he refused or failed to receive the blessing himself. Thus he sat on the side of the city waiting for it to rain down brimstone. And it never happened. Because he couldn't understand that God didn't call him to bless him. He called them to bless others. You know, and that's something that's not easy to do. When I was first called as a missionary, God had rightly burdened my heart with a great passion and love for the people of the Middle East. You know, as a young missionary, you know, a lot of that emotion and a lot of that, you know, that drive pushes you, you know, to leave hearth and home and to abandon things, to be zealous about God, what God has called you to do, and to interact with people that you would not normally interact with. And you're a fool to think that that same amount of love and emotion, think, you know, I love these people. I'm willing to, you know, give my life and sell my home and leave my family, and I'll give up all these things because I just love these people so much. Well, the first time, you know, you get, you know, yelled at, thrown out of a country, threatened, feel like you're ostracized by the country that you live in. Well, that emotional aspect goes away pretty quick. You know, to say that, you know, I've always felt this, you know, deep emotional burden for the people of the Middle East, it'd be a lie. The same as we look around at our neighbors and the people that cause us such, you know, burden in our heart, we realize that people are destroying the country that we love, or, you know, even posing a threat to the morality of our children, the influences that surround them. And it's pretty hard at that point to love people. But God doesn't ask us to fall in love with people. He asks us to be a blessing. He asks us to love Him and to obey Him. And that, again, takes us looking at ourselves and saying, Lord, I don't want the thing that makes me comfortable. I don't want to go out and witness to this person because I feel so much heartfelt love for them. I want to do it because You've asked me to do it. I want to be a blessing to people. I want to give to, you know, to that person who's in need, not because, you know, I really just feel this passion to give them. Because You called me to be a blessing. You called me to help. You called me to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. And so we have to get over this idea that we're going to get the blessing. Maybe God will, and He will. As the best blessing passes through us, we are blessed. But understand that God calls us to receive a blessing that we might give it. And the third principle we learn from Jonah, if we continue our reading in chapter 4, down to verse 6. In verse 4 it says, then the Lord said, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? Here we see that the blessings of God have to be accepted. There was no shortage of God's willingness and power to bless people in this story. Even Jonah in his own life, God desired, when God called him there at Joppa and called him into Nineveh, God's initial desire and desire through the whole thing for Jonah was that he might bless Jonah through his obedience, and that he might be that tool of blessing unto others. Jonah, unlike the people of Nineveh, never got the blessing because he just refused to take it. It was all around him. Scores and scores of people. Imagine a city that were so well known, and the Assyrians, even at that time, were known for, you know, being the most rotten, ruthless peoples of the ancient East. To this day, I mean, you can go to Mosul today and you can see just, you know, how hard, powerful, and cruel the Assyrians were during those times. And in one moment, I mean, the message that Jonah carried was so simple. A few words, a couple sentences. And God, from the king down to the cattle, brought about a great revival. The salvation of hundreds of thousands of people. And literally, that preaching by Jonah staved off the coming doom of the Assyrians to capture Syria or Israel for another 30 years. Even history records that from that time, around 760 BC to about 730 when the Assyrians came and took, that Assyria didn't make war with anybody. They didn't go and conquer other countries because of what God had done through Jonah. It changed the entire world, known world at the time, through that simple message. I mean, the power of God to bless, to change people's lives, is enormous. And Jonah sat there on a hill, pouting, saying, Where's mine? How come it's not the way I want it? I don't want that blessing. He sat there and he wanted to see what would become of the city, hoping God, you know, would not be merciful. And he'd do exactly what he said, you know, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And he sat there and he waited, probably counting down the days for it to be destroyed, knowing that that's not what God had intended anymore. And he refused to be blessed because he wouldn't accept it. God came to him and he said, much like he did to Cain, Do you have the right to be angry? He said, Yes, I do. And God said, Well, let me just show you how foolish that is. And he brought up a gourd, and he covered him. It says he was exceedingly glad for a plant. And then God said, Well, I'll take the plant away. And then he goes back to saying, I wish I was dead. Because he didn't count the blessings. He didn't appreciate what God had given him. And so many times, if we could step back and look at our lives, we'd see that God desires and has the windows of heaven ready to be opened unto us. And we look up at God and said, I don't want it. I don't want it. Either bless me the way that I want to be blessed with this job and this life and this, you know, this thing that I'm asking for, or don't bless me. Jonah did not consider going to Nineveh a blessing. But God did. We have to get to that point in our life when we say, God, don't bless me the way I want to be blessed. Don't give me the things that I want, because what I want is probably not good for me or good for others. I want to, first of all, be thankful. God said, Jonah, you're thankful for the gourd that came up in a day and perished in a day. How much do we have in our life? How many gourds has God provided for us? That we look around and say, huh? And if the car breaks down, we're upset because the gourd got taken away. Instead of saying, you could be walking everywhere. You could have soles on the bottom of your feet. And we don't appreciate the blessings that God has already given us. Really, what we're doing is refusing. We're saying, God, I wanted to be blessed, but not that blessing. Obedience comes in saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Not the blessing I want, but the one you want to give me. And really, that's the difference between being materially blessed and being spiritually blessed, where the spiritual blessing far outweighs the temporal and temporary joy and happiness we get from things. But to say, God, I don't want what I want. I want what you want. We learn from Jonah that disobedience blocks blessedness, and that not living blessed by God is disobedience. We understand that in order to obey God, we might be stretched. God might ask us to do some physical thing that is hard to do. He might ask us to give more than we want to give. He might ask us to go to talk to somebody that we don't want to talk to. He might ask us to go and make amends with people that we'd rather just avoid completely. He wants us to be stretched. Obedience means saying no to ourselves and doing something difficult. We need to realize that our calling is to be a blessing for others first. That as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to be as He is. That He came for others. And that if we're going to live for Jesus Christ, it means putting ourselves last and looking at the needs of others first. And lastly, that if we want to be blessed of God, we have to accept it. We have to accept it the way that He desires for us. Put our thoughts, put our desires on the side and say, Lord, I'm surrendering to what You want to do in my life. Maybe He's going to tell you to go to Nineveh. Maybe He's going to tell you to love your enemies. Maybe He's going to tell you to let go of these lands that are going to be barren in 30 years and seek something of more heavenly nature. You know, there's so many challenges for us in our life, and each one of us is unique. Each one of us, the things that we're going through and the challenges and the calling of God, just like He called Jonah, is different for every single person. But I know this, that if we're going to be blessed of God, if we're going to live in that position of peace and contentment, knowing that God is with us, it's going to come through obedience. It's going to come on our knees where we simply say, Lord, not my will but thine. Use me, take from me, give to me whatever you want. So maybe some of us are here this morning as the song leader comes. Maybe some of us are here this morning and There's something that God is touching your heart about. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something to give away, person to visit. Maybe it's something that hasn't been dealt with that we've pushed away for years. That argument we had, that person we don't like, that thing we need to get rid of in our life. God is just coming and saying, give it up to me today. Obey me, and you'll find that blessing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that cuts to our heart sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, for your spirit that touches us, and Lord, with great conviction, asks us to obey first and to be blessed by you. Lord, we just pray that whatever that need is, whatever, Lord, that step of obedience, whether it be towards salvation or to a surrendered life, to a specific thing in each one of our lives, Lord, in all simplicity, we'd simply obey you, come to you and ask that thy will be done. Lord, bless us, touch our hearts in this time, in Jesus' name, amen.